Hello, it is Michaela with the Butterfly Effect. I am a domestic violence survivor. I was in an abusive relationship. I was choked out and hospitalized and released to the streets. I was homeless for a year and a half. Years later, it inspired me to create the Butterfly Effect Project. I provide peer-to-peer support. I guide women to resources in their area. I am looking to start a nonprofit organization once I graduate from college. I'm also looking to create a safe house. I feel that we shouldn't have to fight our perpetrator and then fight the system as well. I would like to get on here today and make my episode about what do you owe yourself? What do you want out of life? What do you want to do now? What do you want to do after that domestic violence situation? What do you like to wear? Where do you like to go? Where would you like to live? A lot of times when we're in abusive relationships, we have that power and control and we're not able to make those decisions for ourselves. We're not able to really understand the full capacity of how we're feeling. So today I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. Is domestic violence really your fault? It definitely isn't. If you believe you're responsible for the destructive aspects of the relationship, your awareness of your faults may keep you from even considering that you have the right to end it. This is an especially dangerous trap for you. If you've lashed out at him or her verbally or physically at times, perhaps you may have hit them back or lost your temper through things. A lot of times we kind of, when we're going through a domestic violence situation, we take some of those negative aspects of that relationship and they contribute to future relationships. You know, that chaos in our household, sometimes we become accustomed to that, and it can be very detrimental. That's why it's very important to heal properly from one relationship when going to the other. Let's look at the objectives of how you're spending your time with your friends. A lot of times when you're in an abusive relationship, you're controlled. You can't go out with your friends. You can't have access to money. And there's that manipulation over you. Some questions that we need to ask ourselves was meeting a friend wrong? Do you deserve to have friends, to be with people who give you some warmth and concern you seldom from your abusive partner? Isn't that a minimum of what every person deserves? If you agree, ask yourself again whether you really brought it on yourself. At worst, you could find that you didn't act in the safest way, but you are protecting another equally important aspect of yourself, that seed of independence, that individuality, hungering to grow and needing warmth and nurturance in which to do it. You risk your physical being on the chance you could nourish your spirit. It's impossible to make a really good decision if the alternatives are either risking a beating or resigning yourself to isolation. A lot of times we tell our abuser, I'm not going to go with my friends. I'm not going to do this for myself, because you're afraid of their reaction, what they might do, whether it's isolating you, beating you. Does one adult have the right to punish another? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. If your man or woman beats you, he's likely to explain that that was the last resort. A reminder that his or her authority over all aspects of your life, whether they have the right to do that, and those are things that we need to be aware of. No one has position of authority and power over us. We all deserve to be treated like human beings. We all deserve love. And if you cannot find that love, it definitely is best for you to be by yourself. There's nothing wrong with being by yourself. Sometimes when we're single, we rediscover ourselves. We figure out who we truly are. You don't want that person to have the right to control your life, how you feel about yourself, have economic power over you. A lot of times when you're in an abusive relationship, they try to control you financially to make you feel less than, to belittle you, so you feel like they're your only option. But they're not. There's plenty of people in the world, and even being by yourself is okay. No position of authority brings with it the power of judge or batterer. Certainly the institution of marriage, which is said to be based on love, respect, compassionship, should not foster such power. You being married does not grant your partner economic power over you, physical strength, the right to punish you. Do people who behave stupidly deserve to have bad things happen to them? As we discussed previously, you took a calculated risk to get something you badly wanted. Just because you could have predicted you'd be beaten doesn't mean either that you behave stupidly or that you deserve a beating. Like I said, no one deserves to be abused. If you or your man or woman have serious faults, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't deserve each other. It means that you have to figure out who you are, to the extent that you bring on your own self-happiness and your own self-worth. I've had a lot of people say to me, does alcohol or being addicted to drugs or being violent, is that an excuse for an abuse? It definitely isn't. If a person wants to abuse you, it's because they want to abuse you, not because of drugs or alcohol or what happened to them previously. Everything in life is a choice. Everything's about growth and development. I'm still learning myself. Nobody's perfect. I made a lot of mistakes in my life, but it's about growing from them and learning from them and trying to just be a better person every day. And as survivors, we have to remember to be patient with ourselves. We have to remember to give ourselves love and encouragement. Sometimes we've been broken down and beaten down so much, that's what we become accustomed to and what we become used to. But we have to continue to wake up every day and tell ourselves we are beautiful. We are worthy of all good things. That is something that really, is the core of who we are and what we feel like we deserve. Been beaten, they feel like they deserve less. They feel like freedom of speech, which is a fundamental right, was taken from them. They feel like they have all these negative thoughts, depression, frustration, loneliness. We ask ourselves why. We always say to ourselves, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did I have to go through this? But sometimes we need to ask ourselves instead of, why did this happen to me? What was the purpose of this happening? Everything I've been through in my life, I feel like sometimes I'm guilty of doing it. I'll say, well, why did this happen? This isn't fair. Why did I have to go through this? But we have to find purpose in our pain. And I feel like the purpose of my pain was to create the Butterfly Effect Project, to be able to speak to all of you guys, somebody who's been through it, somebody who knows how it feels to have no one and feel so low about themselves. You have to find that pain and purpose. And I know that it's hard. It's even hard for me to do sometimes. Sometimes I have to snap myself out of it. Like, hey, Michaela, you're better than this. You can definitely heal from an abusive relationship. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. And it's going to take a lot of support. But you can do it. And you're never alone. Just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to bring awareness to domestic violence. This, to me, is a sisterhood and a brotherhood. Men are abused as well. So I like to include them in there. It takes all of us together to change these stigmas and the victim shaming, the victim blaming. It is not the victim's fault. Sometimes when we're in abusive relationships, we have given up our rights without even thinking much about it. We gave up our right to choose our friends, to decide how to spend money, how to use our time, what to eat, what to wear, how to look. We took that matter of appearance and kind of put it in our perpetrator's hands, because we were afraid that we would be subject to abuse. But we have to learn how to regain that freedom back. It's almost like, I like to use this a lot, it's like a bird trapped in a cage. You know, once you are freed from that cage, you could spread your wings and you could fly, you could soar. There's a whole world out there of greatness, and you just have to really find it. I feel like I'm still finding that greatness that I want to achieve. And all of you help me with that. Each day, all the beautiful messages I get, the compliments, it really lifts me up. And I'm eternally grateful for each and every one of you who's been with me along this journey. I hope to open up a nonprofit organization. I hope that I can make a difference in people's lives, that I can inspire people to do better, to feel better about themselves. There's always better days. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck and it's the end all be all and we just can't get out of it. But every time you feel your heartbeat, that's called purpose. When you hear your heartbeat, that is called purpose. And every time you hear your heartbeat, you have to remember that you were put on this earth for a reason. You are put on this earth for greater good. And we all have to figure out, you know, what that greater good is. And we could do that, even after a domestic violence situation, after any tragedy that you've gone through in your life, you have the right to regain that freedom. You have the right to your privacy. You have the right to express ideas. You have the right to express your feelings, even negative ones. We're all entitled to our feelings. You have the right to choose your work, your religion, the lifestyle that you want to live. You have the right to be free of fear. The right to have some time to yourself, the right to spend some money as you please, the right to emotional support from family and friends. You have the right to be listened to, the right to cultivate friendships of your choice, the right to do creative, challenging, absorbing, worthwhile work, the right to decide whether to have sex or not. These are your rights. You have rights as a human being. And when we are in domestic violence situations, sometimes those rights get taken away from us, they get stripped from us, and it's our responsibility to learn how to gain those rights back. All of us have the right to certain things in life. You know, we have the right to civil rights, we have the right to human rights. You know, we have the rights to certain things. Let's look at the money aspect of it. It can certainly seem as if there is nothing to decide, especially if all goes for necessities. However, when there's not enough to pay basic bills, some of that money we want to be allotted to groceries or food or magazines or whatever it is that we like. Sometimes in abusive relationships, we get that stripped away from us. And that's all part of the power and control wheel, part of that manipulation, that intimidation that they want to have over you. Part of the power and control wheel, there's a lot of aspects to it. There's economic abuse, preventing you from getting or keeping a job, making you ask for money, using your children against you. Sometimes our perpetrators use our children to make us feel guilty. They use the children to relay messages. They harass us or threaten to take the children away. Part of the power and control wheel is minimizing, denying, and blaming, making light of the abuse and not taking the concern seriously, saying the abuse didn't happen, shifting responsibility for abusive behaviors, saying that you caused it. Isolation, controlling what you do, who you talk to, what you read, limiting time outside, emotional abuse, putting you down, making you feel bad about yourself, calling you names, calling you crazy, playing mind games with you, humiliating you, threats, threatening to do something to you, to hurt your loved ones, threatening to leave report you to welfare, make you do illegal things. These are all part of the power and control wheel. And it really is a continuous effect. You know, you have a cycle where they beat you, and then you go to the honeymoon stage where they apologize and they're sorry, and everything's going to be better, and you're right back. And it's a continuous cycle until you figure out a way to break it. You know, a lot of time I've had a lot of people come to me, well, I still love her, or I still love him. But what does being in love mean? What really is the meaning of love? Although we can't explain the condition of being in love, we recognize it when it happens to us. And usually we expect it to be on faithfulness. When someone tells us that they're going to treat us right, we expect that from them. You know, a lot of us see love according to the songs, the stories, the poems, movies like The Notebook. But that's not really love. Love is beautiful, yes. But love sometimes also can be not so great, because we all are different. We all have different thoughts, views, and opinions. It's completely normal to have arguments in relationships. I've also had people ask me, like, well, if I have an argument, does that mean I'm in an abusive relationship? No. Having arguments is healthy, depending on how they're handled. That's what it boils down to. Everything's not Cupid's love. It's not what you see on TV, what you hear in songs. You are going to have problems, but it's about how you deal with that. Symptoms reflecting love. Sometimes, you know, we have a different view on what a lifetime of commitment looks like. And it's okay to have those differences. It's about coming together as one. And it's about really understanding love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love does not hurt you. Love does not beat you. Love does not do anything to you that's unfair. I had some guy write me the other day and said, how do I know if I love my girlfriend, even though she's abusive? And my response to him was, how do you love each other? I could never find... You have to ask yourself this question. Could I ever find another woman or man to love me the way they love me? Sometimes you feel like without that person, you have nothing to live for. And that right there is when you kind of have to break it off. And you really figure out that it's unhealthy. Like I said, love is kind and patient, gentle, understanding. Love does not hurt you, beat you, manipulate you, or anything like that. So these are things that we have to think about when we're talking about domestic violence and the healing process. Those are really, really things that we need to really, really ask ourselves. It's very important that we do this. It's very important that we nurture ourselves. Like I said, we need to have that nurturing love for ourselves. We have to continue to tell ourselves, like, we can do this. You know, we can do this. You know, a lot of times we have fears, and the fears get in the way of our thinking. We fear, like, well, how am I going to be okay? If I leave this abusive relationship, where am I going to live? What is my family going to think? What is this? What is that? You know, but we also have to ask ourselves, if we stay in this abusive relationship, what's going to happen to me? Are things going to get worse? You know, my goal as a domestic violence advocate and bringing awareness to domestic violence is for people to understand how many more men and women and children have to die in our country before we put an end to domestic violence. How many more families need to be affected by domestic violence in order for there to be a change? What needs to be done? You know, what can we do as a nation to bring awareness to domestic violence, to get more support out there so people don't feel like we're alone? You know, these are my goals. These are things that I sit and ponder on. you know, this is a fire burning passion inside of me, because I often sit back and think about how I felt, how alone and degrading I felt in those moments, where I was sleeping outside, didn't know when I could eat, when I could shower. You know, not only did I have to recover from the abusive relationship, I had to go into survival mode. I had to go straight into survival mode without even having the time to heal from what just happened to me. And it saddens me that as a country, we have these type of devastations still going on. We have legislators and senators that do not want to pass bills. The amount of non-understanding, the lack of compassion that we have for one another. We were all put on this earth to love one another, to love thy neighbor, and to be there for one another. My platform has allowed me to be there for people all over the world, people I don't know, people that I've built connections with, friendships with, that I feel will last a lifetime. And it's just based off of we have the same goal in mind to bring awareness to domestic violence. We really need to have compassion for one another and have understanding. And I want all of you guys to know that you are never alone. You can always reach out to me. You can always call the domestic violence hotline number, which is a 24/7 number. They have trained advocates who can help you. They also will help you build safety plans. They can guide you to resources in your community just as well as I can. I also provide advocacy. I want to be a voice for the voiceless. If you have a hard time navigating for yourself, you need someone to stand up for you and speak, I'm more than willing to do that. Just get in contact with me on my Facebook page, which is Butterfly Effect for Domestic Violence Victims. My link on here is anchor.fm/Michaela073. You can contact me that way as well. Thank you guys for listening. I will be on here once a week, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So again, it will be every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to me, Michaela, the founder of The Butterfly Effect. You guys all have a blessed day. Stay strong and remember that you are warriors, you are fighters, and nothing can prosper over goodness.